conversations, interviews, rants, and discussions about society, technology, food, art, culture, games, music, education, business, community building and marketing, communications, board games, old science, new cars, body piercing, body painting, competitive eaters, zombies and vampires, and more. You're listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lauren.
How are you?
Well, it's a cold, potentially snowy day.
I wish I was south like a bird, but I'm not. I'm in New York, so I am just as cold as you are, but I'm leaving for San Fran on Sunday, so I'm going to be gone for a week from today for a month, so I'm very excited.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything. Today, we're going to welcome Lauren Koenig, who is the founder and CEO of Traveling with Interesting People. That's TWIP.co. Lauren is a world traveler and has worked in travel tourism in the United States and internationally for many years. And today we're going to be talking about travel tourism and why one person's travel adventure may be another person's travel nightmare. We're also going to be talking about a different type of journey, the entrepreneurship adventure of creating a new business. Lauren, welcome to Talking About Everything.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to have this conversation. And what I really want to ask you more than anything is, if traveling is supposed to be so much fun and so exciting, why do people get so stressed out about it?
We all have such high expectations in everything that we do nowadays. And so I think that when people get stressed out about travel is that there are so many things that can go wrong and so many things that can go right, but it really is never planned out exactly how you want to plan it. And so I think the pressure of knowing that regardless of what you do, you fully can't have control. And some people just, they can't really accept that. There's a lot of tools out there nowadays that give you as much control as possible, but also there's tons of choices. And so I think that can get a little overwhelming for people as well.
And is that a personal trait in a sense, how much control I want? Because if it's completely controlled, there's no spontaneity. And obviously, if it's completely spontaneous, I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, can you control the flight being delayed? Can you control the traffic on the way to the airport because you might miss your flight? The fact that you might lose your passport, the fact that you might actually, you know, get sick when you're in Costa Rica. I mean, there's tons of things that are not glamorous, and that can also be a little fearful for people. There's a lot of individuals that I know are very whimsical and I'm game for everything. I know that they are usually not the planner types, but there are certain things you still need to be aware of. And so I think that's why when those that get stressed because of traveling, I think that's where it comes from, is just, you know, expecting the unexpected.
Here's a real unexpected thing. I was traveling with some friends in Maine. They were staying at my family house and we were all traveling around. And then we're up in Bar Harbor and a couple of them didn't want to pay the literally like $3 or $5 to enter the national park. So, you know, that was completely unexpected. I guess my question is, if I'm going to be traveling with strangers on a tour, is that going to be any better than traveling with my friends?
Well, not necessarily. I think that regardless of who your friends are, you guys might not have the same thing that TWIP has coined. You might not have the same travenality. And you might actually get along with someone 10 times better that you don't know because you know how to travel together than someone you do know. My friends have surprised me many, many times. Things that they do while on vacation that I know are not something that I would do, or we're not gelling, you know, correctly, or our wants and travel desires. And I'm not talking about, oh, I want to go to this country with this date and stay in this hotel. I'm talking about the type of people where you're like, do you get up early? Do you like a lot of alone time? Do you have dinner early? Do you go to bed early? Do you like walking tours? You know, do you like to shop? Do you not like to shop? Are you a big tipper? Do you like to spend money? Are you, you know, are you budget? I mean, really getting down to those nitty gritty in ways that you travel. I think that's, you know, paying attention to the little things makes the biggest difference. And nowadays people are always like, oh, I want to go to South Africa in June. Okay, the destination is great, but the destination is isn't going to be as amazing as it could be if you're going with the wrong type of people. And some of, you know, my family has a summer home up in Canada. Some of my best friends haven't gone up there with me because it's a different type of vacation. I know certain friends of mine don't have that same travenality. They would not appreciate, or not necessarily, that's not fun to them. And so therefore, you know, I have different rhymes and reasons for asking certain people to do certain things. And I think we need to be more aware of that as travelers and being able to give people the opportunity to really hone in on the type of traveler that they want to spend their time with and making the best out of those experiences.
You've mentioned this a couple of times, travenality, and you've actually detailed it a little bit. It's getting into the real specifics. If you love to sleep till noon, somebody else is going to be going crazy because they like to get out of the hotel at the break of dawn. But what are the sort of major parts of travenality?
TWIP has broken travenality down into 5 subcategories. And just to be very brief about them, you can fit into 1 of 5. You can have your primary and your secondary travenality, as well as really getting into your profile and kind of getting into the nitty gritty of your travenality. But right now we have, you know, we've spent a lot of time analyzing the reasons why people travel. Typically, most people fit majorly into one category or the other. For example, we have a travenality called the Maverick, and those are for people that travel for adrenaline reasons. They really like to push the boundaries. They like to jump out of planes. They like to go on safaris. They like to go, you know, do some really push the limits kind of activities, and that's the reason they travel. Okay, it's not being an adventurer. It's really the core of why you travel. We also have one that is called the Epicurean. So that is for someone who loves to travel for food and for drink and to taste and to really be immersed into the taste and culture of why they're traveling. And that's really their main purpose. So essentially food tourism can play into that. Our third one is purist, those who travel to connect with the outdoors. It does not mean you need to go camping. I'm saying you travel specifically for photography reasons. You want to absorb the world around you in terms of scenery. And then we have the soulager, the soulager, which means to nurture within in French. And that means actually those that travel for inward purposes, whether it's to cleanse, whether it's for religion, whether it's for meditation, yoga, anything just to have a little bit of R&R to recover from the crazy grind. Then we have our urbanite, which is someone who travels for metropolitan reasons, those that love tours and museums and nightlife and just the whole urban feel. So typically you'll fall into 1 or 2 of those categories. We are releasing about 5 other different travenalities, but those are something that we'll do at the end of the year. We have one coming called the Alchemist, and that is someone who travels to really help others. Your purpose for travel is to give back to others. So as you can see, it's not necessarily being someone who is, you know, a hiker, and really it's being a little bit more general for the reasons, the umbrella of why you travel, and then your profile can really get down into the nitty gritty of the daily physical activity and habits of a traveler. Because travenality is all about who you are away from home.
Talk to me about that, because I think it's pretty true. Some people, they behave a certain way at home, and all of a sudden, out in the world, they sort of seem like or are someone rather different.
We get to a certain age, I believe, and some people just want to spend their money on a vacation or a trip that and do it the way that they want to live it, and but not be alone. That is the problem nowadays. People are sacrificing their trips and they're settling on their travel partners. And I believe that nowadays when you have the opportunity to purchase the where, the when, the how, the why, and you don't have the who, and unless you have the platform to do so, which is very rare, you know, we want to give you that opportunity. So travenality is really about who the person you become when you're away from home. So for example, my travenality is that I'm not afraid to fly. So it doesn't matter what airlines I fly on, but I prefer direct flights. And I don't travel internationally for them less than 10 days. I feel if I'm going to leave my home and I'm going to go international, I'm going to make a trip out of it. I don't like to repeat countries or cities that I've been into. It's very rare for me to want to do that. I will always prefer taking the train over a car. I do have my license, so I am able to drive through Tuscany if someone, you know, wanted to do that. So I am capable. I want to get my scuba license. So that's something that's on my list of activities that I want to do. I am not a morning person. I will never pay for breakfast because I will never eat breakfast. I do not get up before noon when I travel. I don't take AM flights. I usually get jet lag going westbound. So I'm really cautious about how I, you know, when I return home and if I'm coming west for my travels. I don't like walking tours. Can't stand them. Don't know why I do them. and I refuse to do it. So if someone asks me to go to, you know, on a walking tour, unless it's a pub crawl, I want nothing to do with it. I don't work out on my vacations unless, you know, I tend to be gone for a couple of weeks. I might do a little bit of exercise, but that isn't a priority. Like a lot of my friends, they work out every day on vacation and some don't even own gym shoes. Really, like I said, getting into those daily activities and expectations of your travels.
So you were real specific just now about your own personal likes. And I, you know, some of them resonated with me and some of them didn't. If I went to your site when it's all up and running, am I going to need to detail all that aspect of myself? Is this, are you going to match me? Let's walk through what's going to happen if I visit your site. I'm going to learn something about myself and you're going to try to match me with other travelers?
Absolutely. You're going to be able to hyper-focus on your travenality. And we're going to be asking you questions that you might never even thought of before. But it'll be a great self-discovery process. And you know, actually allowing you to realize that you can find people that you want to travel with that have these type of expectations. And just to kind of get those things out of the way. You know, if someone is, you know, sick via train, and but you really like their travel profile, you know that that's something that you can actually discuss and figure out, you know, beforehand, instead of getting to Rome and be like, I don't want to take the train to Florence. And you're like, I don't understand. Why didn't we talk about this? So we will prompt you with certain questions and fields for you to choose. So, you know, instead of describing the fact that you, you know, are, you know, 6 foot with green eyes and brown hair or whatever, you will actually put, you know, your age and the languages you speak and the fact that you are gluten-free. I mean, really, it's all about, you know, it's your profile, but it's not a physical profile. It's talking about the inner desires of how you want to travel. So you will be prompted on the on hyper-focusing on these different aspects of how you travel. And we will match you with those that we feel you would get along with and that would you would gel with. And you also can search for people based on your own criteria as well. So if it's very important for you to find someone that is afraid to fly and doesn't want to fly, then you can be able to search for someone with that criteria.
And let's be clear, this is not a dating site. So you're really searching for a group of people. Is that how ultimately it's going to work? You're going to find a group of like-minded people and join an already existing tour? Or are you going to find someone you want to travel and come up with your own itinerary?
Actually, both. So you hit it, you know, a nail on the head. Actually, you can create a profile and you can find a like-minded or like-minded people that you would like to travel with and create your own itinerary and do your own thing. Or you can create a profile and look through our inventory and see the trips that we offer and join one of those trips. And the cool thing is you can actually see who's going on that trip before you actually disembark. So there's two different reasons you can utilize it.
When you say I can see them, is it, can I actually chat with them through social media if we both wanted that? Or is it just I get a little bit of a bio?
So you would be able to see the traveler's profile on their TWIP profile before you actually join that trip. So all the information that they fill out on their profile, you would actually be able to see.
What I want to ask you, just to segue a little bit, but to dig into this yet a little bit deeper. So I could find a friend or two and we're going to go to Barcelona. You know, the city doesn't come alive until even later than New York. You might not go out to the clubs until 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I have a small group of people. We're going to meet up there. I could then open it up for a few other folks to join us, assuming we all decided we wanted to. Is that something, or is it either or, like it's just finding that one person you want to travel with, or is it just then joining a group that's already being led by somebody?
Create a profile and find those that you want to travel with on the site, communicating with them on the site. You can go and do your own trip, or you can create a profile and you can join one of the trips that we already offer and going, you know, and look at who is going on that trip before you disembark. There's a third possibility, and you can actually find and meet someone on the site and then prompt them to go on a trip with you that TWIP already offers, if that makes sense.
What I'm hearing is there's a tremendous amount of flexibility, and not only to who I am and how I like to travel, but how I can put together a group. So I could literally put together a group of 10 people. I could join a group of 10 people, or I could find that one person who wants to go mushroom hunting in the Pacific Northwest.
Exactly. So, you know, it's either you want to look for small groups or big groups, whether you have the group or you don't have the group. Most times people don't have the group. They only have one or two people. And if they do find, if they already have those friends, they don't want to create the trip. So they'll join one of our trips. And if you don't have one or two of those people, people will be utilize the site to find someone to be very specific with. So there, we've created an ecosystem to where you can choose who you travel with and then join one of our trips. And if you don't want to join one of our trips, you just find someone to travel with. So it's just a nice ecosystem that we can study as TWIP. We can study the type of trips that people want. I mean, if we have, you know, a million users that all like scuba diving, of course, we're going to put together a grand scuba diving trip to, you know, Australia and the Great Barrier Reef. Great, because the way you fill out your profile is actually giving us feedback to give you a better experience without us having to prompt and ask you all these questions by you just sharing your profile with TWIP and allowing us to see what your interests are, we'll be able to give you a better product.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about a different kind of journey, which is your entrepreneurial journey. What has it been like, you know, having to go out and raise money and figure out all this technology? Has it been as exciting as one of your own travels?
This is definitely one of the most exciting journeys and trips I've ever been on. So absolutely. Raising money has been difficult, but it's because I've made it difficult. I have gotten to a point where I've been able to share our story openly because I know our product will be launching soon and everything changed. I've always had a great support system in terms of our TWIPers, as we call them, and people that come to our events in New York City and those that follow us on social media and really want to utilize the product that we're going to offer. As an entrepreneur, I needed to get our company into a correct place to be able to go out and raise that money. And ever since I did that, which was only a few weeks ago, we've had a great response and we're doing very, very well. And in terms of raising the money, I've also come to realize that raising money is not going, even though it's difficult per se, it will be one of probably the easiest things I will ever have to do while running this company. So knowing that, it makes me realize that it's just a matter of when, and it'll just set me up for the next challenge that I am going to have to take on, because I will have multiple challenges in front of me after we launch and finish raising this round.
Let me ask you, what are you doing then? You said you had to position the company, get to a point in your storytelling about the company where you were able to feel like you could open these doors. Have you joined an incubator? Do you have a mentor? What was the step that got you ready to open those doors?
I spent a lot of 2014 really speaking to people and understanding what they want. I have also been able to build a great team and start building an amazing product. So when you see your product and your baby is about to walk, you know they're about to take their first steps, then you can start sending out the invitations for, you know, the party. You know what I mean? That's really, I think, the best analogy I can come up with right now, because we spent a lot of time designing and understanding where we want our site to be. And we weren't being crazy about it and getting we weren't becoming perfectionists. We just really need to start building. We have a lot that is going into the site. We are offering our TWIPers a lot on the site. And so once it got to a certain point, after finding the right players and the right team members, because building a company is all about your team and your customers, really. And everything else, I believe, will fall into place. But having that team was very important to me. And I got the right team players that built our site at a point that I saw movement and progress and knowing that we're going to have a launch date in July. So having that confidence, I was able to go and say, I now know when we're going to launch and this is real. So I believe for me, that is why I was able to start speaking about it. With that momentum, I was very fortunate to be accepted into the Women's Startup Lab Accelerator in San Francisco, and I leave a week from today. That is going to be a life-changing event for me personally and for my company. And I'm very excited to be around those that are interested in wanting to help TWIP grow and help me grow as an entrepreneur. And just being in the arena of being able to raise a little bit more money. There's tons of connections in New York City as well. We're a travel company, and I like the fact of I can go to Silicon Valley for a month and see kind of some partners that I can make out there and even come back to the East Coast. So it's just things are very much working out the way that they're supposed to, because we haven't stopped progressing since day one.
What can you tell us about this accelerator? What is their goal, or What is your goal now that you've been accepted and all?
The Women's Startup Lab is all about building great founders with the power of HETO. And so when it's a woman that runs the startup accelerator. She's Japanese. And so she has created this community for where two people lean on each other to make up the symbol of HETO, which means human in Japanese. So they're about people supporting and holding each other accountable for being extraordinary and, you know, their version of what they call HETOlogy. We will be around other women entrepreneurs and being able to help each other with the vision that the founders have instead of an accelerator where typically percentage is taken out of, you know, equity is given to that accelerator. And the accelerator has a little bit more power of where that company should go. This is more about connecting with the founders and helping the founders take the company of where they feel that vision should go. It's just really about being around empowerment and educating each other in this two-week immersive program. I think discovering and analyzing the situations and events that we will be facing and preparing ourselves to be able to power through them in the future.
Well, I do see a lot of similarities here between your entrepreneurial adventure with people and your travel business with people. So I think you're in a good place. We're sort of coming to the end of this interview. Is there something that I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell my listeners?
I feel like I've shared a lot about the business and entrepreneurship, and you know, we could talk for hours about this. I am very excited about where we are coming to as a business and being able to create a product that I feel is very needed in the marketplace. And for me, it's important for people to be able to celebrate themselves through travel and be accredited for the education that they give themselves. I don't believe that going to a four-year college and, you know, getting a scholarship here or taking more classes is something that is comparable to traveling and educating yourself. So as much as I condone everyone for, you know, going to college, which I believe everyone should do, but, you know, instead of taking, you know, 9 million more classes, think about maybe buying that extra plane ticket and going overseas for a month and realizing how much is out there and the type of, you know, the world that is out there. So I just want to be able to have a platform where people can celebrate the education they give themselves through travel, because I think that's very much unrecognized nowadays. And it is very expensive and it's difficult and, you know, it's time consuming and there's lots of logistics. And so I think, you know, people just need to be able to have more credit for those risks that they take and putting themselves out of their comfort zone. And I just want to be able to celebrate what makes people interesting.
Well, that's fantastic. Do you have some time? We can go into overtime.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. Then we're going to go into overtime in just a minute. If you're hearing this and you want to catch that overtime episode, you can check it out on the website, talkingabouteverything.com. Look for the raw and uncut link. But as we're ending this shorter part of the interview, Lauren, can you tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find TWIP?
Absolutely. We are very stalkable on the internet. We are hashtag TWIP Trips Everything on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter. So we have an amazing social media team, and we are always replying back and forth to our viewers and our TWIPers, as we call them. We also run an amazing blog at twiptrips.co. And if you are a blogger or a photographer or a traveler or just someone that wants to be recognized for the education you give yourself through travel, write info@twip.co and we'd be more than happy to consider you for Twipper of the Week. We run a blog post every Monday and we celebrate a Twipper throughout the world that has shown in education through travel. Every month, we choose a Twipper of the Month and we send them a little award. And then every year, we have a Twipper of the Year, which we are working on getting some clout and swag bags and whatnot. So we're really excited to be able to have created this community. So if you're interested in that, you're more than welcome to reach out. Our full site is launching in July, and we are so excited. And you can find us at twip.co.
Well, this is Harry Hawk and Lauren wishing everybody a great week. Thanks for listening in. And please tune in for one of our other episodes. You can find me at HHAWK on Twitter.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement, between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.